When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Experience the difference at Wayville and Southern Mitsubishi.
Welcome to the Weekend Preview with Bix and Walshy on SENSA.
Well, this is very exciting, Mark Bickley, because the new gen Triton has landed with Australia's only 10-year warranty. Test drive at Wayville and Southern Mitsubishi, and tomorrow I'm going to pick mine up.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
That is very exciting. So to Tim, to Dylan and the whole team, this is the Weekend Preview. Coming up, we are going to hear from representatives of both the Adelaide and Port Adelaide football clubs. Should we talk about the Crows to start off with? They travel to Melbourne to face Carlton at Marvel Stadium, where they have a few selection headaches and are facing a zip and five start. And Carlton are facing an undefeated start to the season.
Yes, last time Carlton did this, they went on to win the flag in 1995. So nice little omen there for the Carlton Footy Club. And this momentum will continue to build if they can continue winning, which would be great for the competition because Carlton are one of the big, big sides who people come out to support. It's a challenge for Adelaide because what do you do at the selection table? It's not like you've got a whole heap of players to come back in. We know that Paddy Parnell looks like he's going to miss with a shoulder injury. He came off.
He looked really sore
in the third quarter. And Matthew Nix pretty much said that Parnell wouldn't play and that Hamill will come in. Will Hamill. So Hamill running halfback, similar position to Parnell. So that's one likely change. Then you've got this discussion around, you know, Chris Burgess was subbed out in the third quarter, had very little impact on the game. You look at the options to come in if you said, you know, Chris isn't quite the man. Is it Elliot Himmelberg? But Elliot's hardly played. He's done most of the training in defence, in the trial matches he played in defence. So it's really not bringing him in the forward line doesn't make sense. So I think they'll go with Burgess again. You've had Berry and McHenry have been on this sort of hamster wheel of playing a game and then being the sub and then being dropped and then being back in. So they've had sort of a lack of continuity. Last week they brought in Cook and then Curvis. I saw enough from both those guys to say you've got to persist with those two young players and find out about them. And then you've got a couple of players who have been in the side, probably, I hope I'm not being unfair, but Chase Jones, his form hasn't been to where it was last year. He's playing on the wing. Is there an opportunity to get another youngster in and have a look at that, or are you happy to persist with Chase Jones? So they're all the things that Adelaide will be discussing at the selection table, and all those players I mentioned, none of them have put it beyond doubt in regards to their form. You know, they could put their hand in their heart and say, I absolutely deserve to be in this side because their form, you know, haven't made it impossible for the selectors to drop them.
It's been a big week for their fitness boss, Darren Burgess. We caught up with him on SENSA Breakfast and not only had a chat about his new involvement with a gym in the western suburbs alongside Greg Stafford and Sean Baker, peak performance, but also, Bix, some of the things that you asked, I reckon, are going to give the Crows fans a brilliant insight into what goes on a match day for the Adelaide Football Club. Here's Burgo. Bix, before we go to Darren Burgess, wanted to quickly go through the Australian Boomers. They have announced the squad for the Paris Olympics. So some names that stand out. DJ Vasiljevic is in the squad.
Wow, good
move. Which is wonderful. Jack McVeigh, who confirmed we're going to speak to him over the next couple of weeks. Jack McVeigh, who was a grand final MVP. Matthew Dellavedova is in the squad, which is wonderful because he wasn't part of the last international campaign that they had in the FIBA World Cup. Mm-hmm. So he's in there. The usual suspects, Joe Ingles, Paddy Mills, Josh Giddey, no Ben Simmons.
Why not?
Well, he's injured at the moment, but that's the common thread of Ben Simmons, so he won't be part of that. Out of the NBL, Chris Golding, Sam Frolling, Rocco Zakarski, Will Magnay, Will McDowell-White, Jack McVeigh, Keanu Pinder, DJ Vasiljevic, and Deli. So that is wonderful. Speaking of basketball, I actually got my basketball fix at a local gym in Port Adelaide, run by Sean Baker and his wife, Jamie. And they have expanded, and it's going to bring new life to the western suburbs. And Peak Performance announced during the week that they have some significant upgrades happening with the new facility and some significant names joining, which is wonderful, not just for the people of the western suburbs, but for South Australia as a whole. And one of those people involved from the Adelaide Football Club is Darren Burgess. Burjo, good morning to you. Congratulations. I'm so excited for yourself, for Greg, for Sean, but most importantly, for the western suburbs.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We're really pumped to be involved in a place like Peak and with some great people like Sean and Jamie.
How did it all come about, Burjo? How did you start learning about it? I know Sean's had an involvement with the Crows in their AFLW program and the Adelaide Lightning, but how did this relationship start to begin?
Well, I guess it was a bit serendipitous, really. I had no plans to be involved in a gym or to do anything of this nature, but I'd been involved with Sean a little bit through an internship with Port Adelaide, and then I went away for sort of 10 years or so, and Sean reached out to me and just said, look, can you come down and meet the people and help with some of our younger coaches and hold a few sessions down there? And then as I got to know Sean and Jamie and the type of operations they run over the last sort of 3 years, I just thought this is a great facility serving a great purpose. So as you said, the people of Western Suburbs, but also Greater Adelaide. And Greg Stafford and I are childhood friends, and he's obviously well-known in the AFL community. We had actually been offered a few other opportunities in similar ventures, gyms and recovery centres, but we thought, let's join forces with Sean and Jamie and what they're doing at Peak, because we believe in how they go about it.
Well, it is exciting for all the people that feel like they want to get a much more in-depth experience. You know, the knowledge you bring and are able to share with the coaches and trainers down at Peak, I guess, then filters down to the weekend warriors who get access to the same know-how of what the AFL stars are getting.
Yeah, you hope so, Dix. That's exactly the plan, is that, you know, hopefully we can bring some sort of professional training standards and tips and tricks and recovery and to help those who are not yet at the professional level or like me, it will never be good enough to play at the professional level. But they can get some tips from people who've been lucky enough to work at that level for a while. So that's the plan. You know, I've been involved in a bunch of sports and both, you know, full-time and consulting, and so hopefully I can help out. There's a range of athletes that are down there at Peak, and obviously myself and Greg are going to be very much in the background. Jamie and Sean and the great trainers there are the ones that do all the hard work, but hopefully we can help them along the way for sure.
Well, let's talk about Adelaide and the predicament they find themselves in. So they haven't had a win so far in the first four rounds, and I think most people are a bit flat because the expectations were pretty high. Talk to us about the mindset of the players. I'm guessing they can't afford to be flat. They've got to be up, and they're continuing, I'm guessing, to be working really hard on making those improvements they need to do.
Yeah, I think you've probably heard it said by a few people, but it's never as bad as you think. It's never as good as you think when you're 4-0 versus 0-4. So one thing that we pride ourselves on is sticking to the process and going through and reviewing each game really, really thoroughly, and then identifying areas that we can improve. We certainly think the game against the D's was a step in the right direction. There was a little bit more of the Crows' identity in that game. We just weren't quite good enough to get it over the line. So, the mindset is still really positive, albeit, you know, working hard.
Darren, we watch the broadcast and we go to games, and I see you often talking with Matthew Nix and you know, putting your heads together. I've heard him say that you're a bit of a sounding board to him as well. What are some of those discussions that you have during the game and during the breaks?
Yeah, it's with Matthew down on the sideline. Obviously, you have a little bit more access to him, and he has a bit more access to me. So it's my job on game day is looking after the rotation. So, you know, putting players on and off, either based on fatigue or where the coaches want them. So we're just discussing, okay, what can we do next to try and, you know, either create some more opportunities or stop some of the opportunities coming to the opposition. discussing different. One of my jobs is to maybe bring to light some of the things that were discussed during the week, I'm in all the coaching meetings and opposition meetings. So sometimes in the heat of battle, they get lost a little bit. So I might bring up those sorts of things. So nothing too intricate, more about the rotations and position of players.
Mm. It's interesting because we see it different times, and we saw it happen last weekend where the play gets on the outer side and, you know, you've got players on the bench who are desperate to come on, and sometimes they can be delayed by 3 or 4 minutes. What does that do to your rotational schedule that you have, and how do you adjust for that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because you're right. That's exactly what can happen. Our rotations, at least in the clubs that I've worked at, are based on a couple of things. One is our knowledge of the player's fitness level. So, some players who can run all day, like a Chase Jones, will be on longer than other players who might not be able to. But also the flow of the game. It's very rare that Isaac Rankin kicks two goals, that even if he's due for a rotation, we're not going to take him off because obviously he's feeling pretty good. Mm. But certainly if the play is over the far side, then what my job is then is to calm the guys down on who are trying to get on, and obviously look for opportunities to get them on, because that can be frustrating for everyone.
The Crows play at Marvel Stadium this weekend. What are the intricacies of that? Is the game actually quicker? Do you get any data that suggests the players move a bit faster? And the flip side as well is, after the game, is it harder to recover? Is the ground a bit tougher over there? What are the nuances with Marvel Stadium?
It's a little bit of a myth, Bix, that people run faster at Marvel Stadium. The players still run the same
speed,
but what does happen is the ball travels a bit further. Certainly, as opposed to sort of the middle of July when we're playing at, I don't know, Ballarat or even at the MCG, the ball certainly, players can kick the ball further. So it tends to be a little bit more distance and sprint covered during the game, but at the same speed. But it's mainly about the ball.
Berjo, before we let you go, I've had a look at the plans of Peak and the facility which is going to be made, and I'm so excited for Sean, Jamie, yourself and Greg. I do have a question to ask you, though. Sean encourages me to get into the contrast bath. So there's one really warm one and there's one ice cold one. And I think he's lying, because I can't get in that ice cold bath for more than a minute before, well, I go through physical pain. Is it actually good for you, or is this some sort of stitch up?
On this occasion, Sean's correct. It isn't a stitch up. I'm sure he's got plenty of other tricks up his sleeve, but no, Jared, I could not recommend the cold plunges more highly, both for recovery and also for as part of your daily routine. So I expect to see you in there for more than a minute.
No one wants to see me in there with just my bathers on. But mate, congratulations. I'm so excited, Berjo. We know the fantastic resume you have in international sport and the person that you are. And it's wonderful to have you back in Adelaide. You've been here for a few years now, but to do what you're doing and really put back into the community here in Adelaide is only going to mean good things. So good luck for your team this weekend, but also for yourself, for Greg, for Sean and Jamie and Peak. And we appreciate your time. I'm on SEN.
Appreciate the kind words.
So, Bix, who are you tipping, the Crows or Carlton?
I tipped Carlton in the paper.
Jeepers. Reverse psychology, though.
Exactly, because I've tipped Adelaide in the first four rounds without success. And so, one, I'm very competitive, and I want to try and stay in contention with the footy tips.
You don't normally take those risks until the end of the season, though, but... Fair call. That's okay.
Anyway, and so I'm going with the flow there, but I'm tipping an upset with the Eagles. So anyway, cut a long story short, I've tipped Carlton, but I'm hoping that Adelaide can turn it around.
Experience the difference at Wavell and Southern Mitsubishi. Saturday night football, Freo stay in town. Port Adelaide have a third home game in a row. This is a really important game for the Power against a quality opposition that, if it wasn't for the last 2 minutes of that game, they would have stolen a win from the Blues. Justin Longmuir was so composed at the end of that game. So Port will have a couple of selection headaches as well. Travis Boak likely to go out and miss. Jeremy Finlayson definitely will miss, with Ollie Wines waiting, with Sam Powell-Pepper waiting. What are you going to do at selection there?
Ollie Wines comes back in. Sam Powell-Pepper comes back in. And we know Finlayson goes out. So I think it's just a shuffling process, isn't it? Who did you say were the two that go out?
So Travis Boak, there's a question mark over him.
So Wines comes in for Boak. I don't think Boak will play. They won't take any risks there, I wouldn't have thought. And then you've got whether it's do you do a shuffling process and whoever's the sub goes out and you just keep shuffling them back, and Sam Powell-Pepper comes into the side and you bring another tall in to replace Jeremy Finlayson, or do you just say, we'll be able to restructure. We've got enough tools in our team with Marshall and also Charlie Dixon. We can bring in Sam Powell-Pepper and we'll still use the other player. Mitch Georgiadis is in the team as well. Mm. Although we want him to play a bit of a higher role, we'll just adjust around that. And I think that's probably the most likely outcome.
Okay, this is what Miles Bergman had to say, where we go a bit in-depth in regards to a reflection on the Essendon game from last week, but also how they're going to take the 4 points away from the Fremantle Dockers. It's going to be a challenging game because Freo very unlucky not to get the result against Carlton on Saturday, a player who's had an outstanding season to date and was part of that brilliant win against Essendon on Friday night is Miles Bergman. Miles, good morning to you. Back at Adelaide Oval, it's been a couple of games in a row there. I'm sure that gives the team a fair bit of comfort playing at home so often.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me. And yeah, definitely. We love Adelaide Oval, obviously. Home games are great and good to have the fans there. They've always been amazing for us, so having three in a row is just a massive bonus.
The performance on last Friday night was outstanding. You just blew Essendon off the park, which was very good. And it sort of feels like you've been building up to that form. It hadn't been perfect, you know, at periods against West Coast and again against Richmond, but that was a really consistent performance.
Yeah, definitely. We covered it over the last few weeks. We knew we played some good footy, but it was just very inconsistent, and we wanted to try and put on a four-quarter solid effort, and I think we finally sort of found that, and hopefully we can continue that throughout the season and this week.
Things seem to be clicking with the defenders which have been recruited to the club. Basava's in good form, Brandon Zirk-Thatcher as well. I probably should say Brandon Zirk-Thatcher's almost been a bit flying under the radar. How impressed have you been with his performance so far in Port Adelaide colours?
He's been so important for us, as have all the other boys as well. Like you said, over the off-season, we went and filled a few holes that we needed to fill. And they've all been doing their part. Big Van in the ruck, and then the two boys down back have just been really solid. And like you said, Brandon's been super the last few weeks for us.
So let's talk about that ruck then, because you mentioned Ivan Soldo, and with the absence of Jeremy Finlayson, we were just talking then, Miles, about the potential for Jordan Sweet to come in. He's only had one game of exposed form for the Magpies, and he had, I think, 46 hitouts. He's been impressive, and he's come to the club to play football. So is he pretty keen to get in front of the selectors for this weekend?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. He's been pretty unlucky. He's had a good preseason, and like you said, he had a very good game first round. So we'll see what the selectors decide to go with, but I'm sure he'd be up for contention.
You would have had a look at what Fremantle are doing so far this year. I'm just looking at their points against. They've only conceded 250 points so far this year, which is the best defence, and it's about six or seven goals better than the second best defence. So they do really make it difficult to score against. Your offence has been really good, so it's a bit of a test for both teams. You're going to put your great offence against their great defence. It's going to be exciting to see who comes out on top.
Yeah, we covered it earlier this week, and it's going to be very exciting. Like you said, a great challenge for both of us. We came up against them in the pre-season, and yeah, their defence is very strong, so we'll see if our offence can keep going the way it has, and if not, we'll see how we can work around it and keep playing some good footy.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, we say they're hard to play against. I heard the Carlton players say that, you know, that they're just really tough to score against. What is it in particular they do? Do they get their wingers back? Do they congest and push into your forward 50? What are some of the things they do that make it difficult to score against?
I think they just own and control the ground really well when we have the ball. They make you go slow. They don't give you the opportunity to play on and run with it and go quick. They defend the ground really well and make options like pretty much unavailable and force you to where they want to go.
So that's why when you've got great kicks across halfback like yourself and Kane Farrell, if you can move that ball quickly and you've got to get it moving really quickly before they get the chance to own that, I guess.
Yeah, we're just going to try and keep playing our way and try and bite off a few, not force too many, but just go quick and see if we can get through before it's set up.
Miles, can we ask you about the performance of Connor and Jason Horne-Francis on Friday night? Because when you're watching the game on television or you're listening to SEN, you get a real sense of the impact that they're having. Jason had more clearances than the whole Essendon team combined. For you as players, do you know the impact they're having whilst in the game, or does it take a bit of reflection to go, wow, that was a pretty amazing effort from two really young players at the football club?
Yeah, I'd say a bit of both. Like, you can definitely notice that they're playing a good game, but you don't really notice how good because we're all in it, we're all focused. And then, yeah, reflecting back on Monday, we sort of really congratulated them and sort of praised them on their work and how hard they've been working to get to that point. So, yeah, it's massive.
Miles, great opportunity this weekend to put your game on display against one of the other teams contending for some of those spots high up in the top eight. Let's hope your fans turn up and support you and you can put on a good show for them.
Yeah, can't wait. They always do, so it'll be great again.
Miles Bergman joining us on SENSA. Also, Bix, for those people in the Port Adelaide area, I know that Willy Rioli is going to be at the Port Mall today. So
really?
From
okay.
4 till 5, there's a sports store there called Intersport. Mm-hmm. So he's got some giveaways and doing a signing session. So if you want to get the chance to meet Willy Rioli, a brilliant young player for the football club, and you live in that area, it's a wonderful opportunity to go and get to know him. So that was Miles Bergman. Bix, who is your tip, Port Adelaide or Fremantle?
I'm going to go with Port Adelaide, but this will be a really tough game. Fremantle got the best defence in the league by some margin, as we discussed with Miles Bergman, but I think Port Adelaide's offence can get it done. I think they can kick a winning score.
The new Gen Triton has landed with Australia's only 10-year warranty test drive at Waverley and Southern Mitsubishi. Thanks to Tim, Dylan and the whole team there. This has been your weekend preview. We are back Tuesday morning from 6 a.m. Enjoy the footy, Bix.
Will do. See ya.